All right, well, I ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, and I'll be reading the first 12 verses. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these words inspired by your Holy Spirit to Matthew, who wrote them down for us, Lord, this wonderful story about these Magi from the east who came to worship at the feet of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to understand the meaning of this for ourselves today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This short episode in the Gospel of Matthew is a very familiar story at Christmas time. We all know that, right? It's a story of the visit of the wise men, we say, or the Magi to the holy Jesus of Bethlehem. There are a lot of sermons. I know you've heard it. A lot of sermons preached on this text, no doubt. And there are a lot of Hollywood producers that portray elements of this story. Think back on all their favorite Christmas movies that deal with the story of Jesus, and you'll remember it. You'll remember this, right? The Little Drummer Boy, right? Ever remember that story? The miniseries produced back in the 70s, one of my favorite telling of the story of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, that miniseries, does a wonderful job on the story about the star. Then there's a movie called The Nativity Story that came out a few years ago. Really well done story, a movie. And then most recently, it's a couple, 3 years back now, most recently a movie called, an animated movie called The Star. Maybe you saw that. It's a cute animated movie about a donkey that helps Mary get to Bethlehem, right? I don't know why they call it The Star. It really should be called The Donkey That Helped Mary Get to Bethlehem. Because it's all about him, right? But in any case, in relating this story, we could focus on a lot of different angles of this story, right? We could focus on the Magi and talk about who they were and what they signified. Even wise men worship him, so we should too, right? Or we could focus on the city of Bethlehem, the city of David, and talk about the role, its role in the history of redemption and the messianic prophecies that all lead up to the birth of the Messiah in that humble little town. Or we could focus on King Herod and his desire to assassinate the newborn king and speak of all the failures in history to stamp out Christianity and how God, through Christ, will prevail over the kingdoms of this world. All of those things we could focus on just in this text. We could focus our attention on any one of those things and more. But this morning, and I know some of you have all heard this before, but I want to draw your attention to something that doesn't get enough attention, I don't think. I want to speak to you this morning about that star. Right? I want to speak about the star. The star that guided the Magi to Bethlehem, the Bethlehem star, or as I will describe it as I've entitled this sermon, the Christmas star. The key verse for my purposes is verse 2. I'm going to focus most of my attention there, where the Magi, having crossed the desert to meet with the Jewish King Herod, they ask him, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." In that verse, we learn the magnificent truth that the star was and is a sign that Jesus is worthy of our absolute devotion. There are two aspects of this thesis I wish to explore with you this morning that we find in that verse. So first of all, I want you to notice that the star indicates that Jesus is the King of Kings. That's what the star, one thing the star represents. That Jesus is the King of Kings. Notice that in the first part of that verse, the Magi ask, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east." You catch that? These Magi, or wise men we call them, they are, of course, astronomers or astrologers, probably from the land of Babylon. Most scholars think they came from Babylon in modern day Iraq. As such, they were trained. These men were trained to watch the movements of celestial bodies, stars and planets and so on. Now, what was this star they saw? What was it exactly? At this point, Hollywood and other popular presentations are of very little help. I'm sorry. They're very little help. For they often portray the star in sometimes very weird ways that the text doesn't justify, not necessarily, right? They often portray the star as floating through the sky, literally hovering in front of the Magi as they made their way to Bethlehem. Ever seen that? No doubt in reading the text, the star does seem to behave in a strange way that may inspire some of these popular portrayals. That may be the case. And if we take such portrayals at face value, then the Christmas star was downright miraculous. If that's the way we understand it. Downright miraculous. And that's certainly possible. But there is a better explanation that I think fits with who these Magi were. They're astronomers and astrologers, right? And with what, and I think there's a better explanation that fits with who they were and with what they say they saw. There's a book written a few years ago. I think I've mentioned this before. I highly recommend it to you. I really enjoyed reading this book. Came out just a few years ago. A book by a man named Colin Nichols. And the name of the book was The Great Christ Comet. The Great Christ Comet. And I believe his thesis in this book is exactly right. He makes the case that I find very plausible. He provides all the evidence that the star was a comet. And if you listen to his description of this, he describes the behavior of comets and how it would have looked from various angles at different times in the year. And as these men followed it and saw it first appearing over the horizon and followed it across the sky for months, right? Every detail of our text fits with how comets behave. Now, we can't be absolutely sure that that's right, but I think that's a very, very good explanation. But you know what? It doesn't really matter ultimately, right? For our purposes. What I really want to focus on is what the Magi say. What they say about the star. Notice they say that they saw his star. See that? They saw his star. Whose star? The star signifying the birth of the King of the Jews. That's what they said, right? Now, we're not told exactly how the Magi connected this particular star or comet, if that's what it was, how they connected it to the Jewish Messiah. But most scholars are convinced that these Magi are alluding here to one particular Old Testament text. So look with me to the book of Numbers. All the way back to, in the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, chapter 24. This is a chapter in the book of Numbers where that pagan prophet Balaam, you know who Balaam is, right? The one who had the talking donkey, right? He makes some prophecies. In Numbers chapter 24, look at verse 17. It says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob, a scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Sheth. This is part, as I just said, of an oracle pronounced by the pagan prophet Balaam. He foresaw, if you look in the context, the entire context, he saw that in the distant future, a star would arise out of Jacob, a scepter from Israel. The scepter is the symbol of a king, right? A star will rise out of Jacob, a scepter from Israel. This is a messianic prophecy of a coming king of the Jews. But not just any king of the Jews. Not just another Herod, but a king of the Jews who would become king of the whole world. Just read on. King of the whole world. Now it should not come as any surprise that these Magi would be familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures. That shouldn't surprise us at all. After all, the Jews spent 70 years in exile in Babylon, right? And many of the Jews, many of them stayed there in Babylon after the others returned home to Judea, right? Think of Mordecai and Esther, for example. These Babylonian astronomers saw a star rise unexpectedly on the eastern horizon, and somehow they knew that the Jewish Messiah, the King above all kings, was born in Judea, or about to be born. And so they packed their bags, and they set off in a caravan on a month-long journey, tracking that star westward, across the sky and through the desert, right? Until it led them to Jerusalem. And then later to Bethlehem. And even to the very house where Mary resided with the infant Jesus. They had to see this king whose birth the star announced. But there's a second aspect to what this star indicates. So secondly, I want you to see that the star indicates that Jesus is the Lord God of heaven and earth. He's not just King of Kings, but he's the Lord God of heaven and earth. Go back to our text in Matthew chapter 2 and look at verse 2 one more time. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and, notice, have come to worship him. And when they get to Bethlehem, right? When the Magi get to Bethlehem and they find the house where Jesus lives, right? That's exactly what they do, isn't it? Skip down to verse 11 of our text in Matthew. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. The fact that the Magi fall down and worship Jesus is a clear indication that they, Herod didn't, but they recognized him as divine. Even at this point. Recognized, that is, that he was God in the flesh. How could they know this? How could these pagan astrologers from Babylon know this? It's actually not hard to figure that out. What gifts did they bring to Jesus? You tell me. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You think that was just an accident? They just went into their closet and said, oh, I'll take this and this and this. No. They brought those things for reasons. Right? I've already shown you that the Magi knew the Old Testament scriptures. So turn with me now to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, if I can find it. Hang on, almost there. And let's read the first six verses. This is a messianic text, right? Isaiah's talking about the Messiah, and the suffering servant. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba will come. Notice, they will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news to the praises of the Lord. This text explains the gold and the frankincense, right? Myrrh, a little more difficult, but myrrh is a spice. Some of y'all probably know this. Myrrh is a spice used in burials to anoint dead bodies, right? And the Magi likely brought that, I believe, in light of Isaiah 53, back a few chapters, where the suffering servant is killed, right? The same one they're talking about here. What about the deity of the Messiah? The very same book from which they get the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, the very same book makes that very clear. Look back at Isaiah chapter 7. I know we read this last Sunday, but it bears repeating today. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah makes this wonderful prophecy. To King Ahaz, he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name what? Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the Messiah will be God with us, you see. Flip over to chapter 9, right? Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Maybe they thought that was the star, right? Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. And skip down to verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You see that? Isaiah prophesies that a child will be born who is both king and God. And when the Magi saw the star arise in the east, they knew that he was born. You see. And so they crossed the desert to fall down on the ground to worship him. I said earlier that the star is a sign that we owe Jesus, that we owe Jesus our absolute devotion. Let me break that down into two specific applications that parallel the two main points I've made in this sermon. First of all, since Jesus is the King of Kings, he has the right to rule your life. Right? I want you to think about that and what that means. You make many decisions. I make many decisions about your life and my life, right? You make many decisions, both small and big. Decisions about what you will eat, what you will wear, where you will live, about what TV shows you will watch, about where you'll go to school, about your career, about who you will marry, about what you will buy with your money, what political causes you will support, right? And what you consider to be right and wrong. We make decisions about all such things. But when you make those decisions, do you consider what the Lord Jesus Christ would have you do when you make these decisions? Is it his will that you consult, or is it just your own? If it's your own will and not his, then let me make it plain. You are a usurper. You are a traitor to your king. You are a rebel against God's righteous government. The Christmas star shone down from heaven to point you and me to our rightful king, the Lord Jesus. Secondly, since Jesus is the Lord God of heaven and earth, he deserves your worship, right? He deserves your worship. We fallen sinners worship many things. We worship primarily our own comfort and security. And sometimes that's wrapped up in other things we worship, like our money, our families. Some people literally worship the stars, or Mother Nature, literally. Many of us worship a God of our own invention, a God who serves us and caters to us, and who never demands anything from us, who never makes us uncomfortable. People worship a God like that. Ultimately, fallen sinners worship self. What matters to us more than anything else is me, myself, and I. Am I wrong? I don't think so. All of these, of course, are false gods. They're idols. The Christmas star points us to the true God. To the true God. The God who made us. The God who takes care of us. The God who died on the cross in our place to forgive our sins and wipe away all of our idols. The star points us to the Lord Jesus. He deserves your worship. He deserves to be what you live for. He deserves to be the focus and the center of your life every day. And you know what? To those who acknowledge him as king, to those who worship him as Lord, to those people he promises to give eternal life, joy, and peace forever. Won't you worship him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered here to worship you, to acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our God. revealed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, forgive us of our idols. Forgive us of exalting ourselves above others and especially above you and your will. Help us, Lord, to be like Mary in the story we read in Sunday school, who said to the angel, "Behold your servant." Let us be like her, your servants, here to do your will in honor and devotion to our God, our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus, today and every day. It's in His name we pray. Amen.